everyone, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. On this show, we will focus on strengthening women's mental fitness through sharing the joy, struggle, and wisdom of each woman's journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments. Go to pivotalmoments.org to learn more. Hello, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. This is your host, Sandy Lutton, and I'm joined again, I'm so excited about this, with Beth Shahay from The Grounded Canary. Beth is a certified life coach and the founder of The Grounded Canary. Welcome, Beth. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here. And if you listened to me before, you know that, boy, I had a bad cold. And this time I am here and present and accounted for and feeling
awesome. Well, yeah. It's good that you're here and present, because that's what we're going to talk about today. Last time when you were here, we had some great discussions around self-compassion and really being curious about yourself and your thoughts and not being judgmental and so hard on yourself and knowing kind of your being true to yourself ultimately. And we talked, there was a lot of great discussion around that. And then, you know, towards the end, I said, well, you know, we both agreed that it's really about awareness and being present and recognizing when these things are happening and when you're being judgmental towards yourself. And I said, Beth, we've got to talk about presence. How do you stay present? Because we all tend to, you know, spend time, you know, preparing for the future and working on things and prepping and thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow and setting your agenda and these things. But also we spend a lot of time, at least I know I personally do, and I'm working on that, of replaying things in my head and kind of living in the past. And I remember coming to you and saying, how do you stay present? Like, how do you, what are the tricks to being present? So share with us, talk to us a little bit today about your thoughts on the importance of what it is to be present and mindful and really understanding what's happening when you are kind of, you know, in that zone and you're spiraling a little bit out of control and things are going crazy.
Sure. Absolutely. So what I would love to do is just kind of answer that question. But before we do, even take it back a little bit further to create a little bit more of an eagle eye view.
Awesome.
So when you're in those moments, oftentimes our body is showing us something. It's an emotion, it's a sensation. And we are so, we're so in the throes of that, and we're feeling it so much that we can't really understand what's going on. So our mind is sending us signals. We're having thoughts come up, and our body is reacting. And often we are in it almost as if we're in this tornado that's happening around us. Versus being able to literally be a bird that flies above the tornado and sees it. And when we become that witness, we start to understand what is it that our body is telling us and how is our mind-body connection working. And so the basis of my coaching, the basis of my approach to my own life is found in that mind-body connection. Because when we become a witness to that and we can see what's happening, we're able to really drop in the presence. But a bit about that mind-body thing, you know, it's countercultural because we think our body is often what just kind of takes us places, right? So when we're going about, we say, oh, we're going to this meeting, we're going to this game, we're doing these things. We aren't aware of our body often unless it's hurting. Oh, my hip hurts. Oh, my big toe hurts, you know, and it goes unappreciated. Yet our body responds and tells us things, and it's our true nature. And our body is constantly working for us, not against us. If you think about a basic petri dish, if you put a living organism in it and you put a little toxin in there and you put a little food nourishment in there, that organism actually goes towards the nutrients and it wants what's good for us. And that's what happens in our body. Our body wants what's good for us. And it is so connected with our truth way more than our mind. So when we're aware and when we're present and really understanding what our body is telling us, a little less than what our mind is telling us, we're able to really see that eagle eye view and pull back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Yeah. And so it's when we pay attention to that, that we're able to experience freedom, but that takes presence. And that's what we're talking about today.
Right.
Now I can answer that question.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sandy, even in our conversations, we recognize that presence takes slowing down And in our culture right now, where it's faster, better, more, go, 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 it's difficult sometimes to really slow down and check in. And yet we find that when we do this, we experience more joy, more lightness, our definition of success. And it draws you, your deepest yearnings towards you. So all these are reasons why we should do it. But oftentimes, you know, we don't find the time or the energy or even the desire to do so. And so, you know, there's times when we have a thought that goes on, like mm-hmm. you had said, when we're in that moment and we're spiraling. Let's just take, I'm going to be homeless, for example. So I'm going to be homeless. Without presence or awareness, we take on that thought as our identity.
Mm.
So immediately when you think you're going to be homeless, what do you see, Sandy?
I see myself on the streets.
Yeah.
Like with that. What yeah, else? It's but I see it's also scary. It's fear. Mm-hmm. It's you know, just lacking. So, and also, you know, I also kind of see like darkness and clouds, and it just there's nothing bright and happy about that right. thought.
Yeah. There's darkness, there's clouds. You know, you're in the streets, it's, you may be wet, cold, malnourished, and you're going to die, right? Like that's where our mind, yeah, you're so right. It's where it takes us. And we mentally project that and then we believe it. And so we spend more time in that, in what could come, which is way worse than what our current present is. You know, we can't do anything about the present, but we can do something about the right now. So let me ask you again. At this moment, if Sandy were homeless and you were not in your home, you were sitting outside on the front curb
mm-hmm.
without a home, would you be okay?
Yeah, I really would be, because I have friends, I have family, I have people that I can lean on, go to, get help from. So yeah, I really would be okay.
But isn't it amazing the power of our mind?
Mm-hmm.
And that's with any thought. I'm not going to survive when my kids move out of the house, empty nest syndrome. I'm not going to survive if I don't continue to climb that ladder of success at work. I'm not going to be okay if I leave this marriage, right? Like we can create any thought. Those are just examples. Any thought that goes on, we can create this massive projection of a movie that we believe so wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what you said is key. I have friends. I would be okay. I would have a couch to sleep on, I assume, right? We're okay in this moment. So Eckhart Tolle is somebody I've been reading a lot of lately, and he wrote this book, and it's The Power of Now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's listed as a spiritual, a guide to spiritual enlightenment that explores what it means to live in the present. And he says, the quote is, whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you've chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend, your ally, not your enemy. And this will miraculously transform your life. So if you're sitting there homeless on the curb, make it something you chose. Don't work against it. And when we identify with, you know, when we work against it, we're looking towards our past, which is our memory, or our future, which is anticipation, and we shackle ourselves. And in his book, Tolle talks about challenging you to shift our consciousness from time, which is to come or has passed, to presence. And that's an interesting concept, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And it's so interesting to me too, that as I think about this, it's really about, you know, that internal narrative and what we're telling ourselves and the perspective in which we choose to believe.
Yes.
And I think what you've taught me is it's easy to kind of spiral out of control with that internal narrative. But if you can bring yourself back mm-hmm. to that moment, like, wait, here I am right now in this moment. All right. What's going on around me? And there really isn't a storm swirling like you think it is, like you tell yourself it is. So then you can, you know, start to calm yourself a bit. So
right. Absolutely. So,
yeah.
It's like struggle or pain starts to dissolve.
Right.
The just like our example about being homeless, if we worry about it and we project, there's a lot of struggle in there. But the moment that we are present, we're okay. I would be okay if I was sitting out on my curb without a home, right?
Right.
All of a sudden it starts to feel almost joyful and easy. You know, Byron Katie tells a story about the same thing. And it's a woman sitting in her car who had lost her home said, "I was so much more afraid of it then. Today, I'm in my car." It's kind of that same concept. And she said, "I feel more peaceful."
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. So she finds herself there in the moment, and it's actually way better than she ever could have imagined it would be, right? Exactly. Not nearly as bad. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And how many times do we do that in all of our lives, you know, in all sorts of situations?
I think for me, all day long, continuously. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that we don't try to plan, or we don't think ahead, or we don't, anticipate things, you know, there's a party coming up and I need to, you know, I'm excited about that. Or, you know, my son's graduating and then there's that, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't think ahead so that we can be prepared.
Right.
But that's all it is let's be prepared in case, but not letting it keep this complete shackle on us, not letting it allow pain and struggle and concern and worry. That's a very different way to live in the future than simply to just say, okay, on Sunday, I'm going to have to wear a bathing suit, so I better buy one sometime before Sunday.
Right.
You know, there's a different concept there.
Right.
It's about what you let your mind get involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So I don't want to jump ahead. So don't let me jump ahead, but I know one of the things that I have talked to you about is, all right, so I recognize that when I can bring myself back into the present, right, and really start to think, okay, it's not that bad. So what is it that's really bothering me? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tricks and ways to do that.
Right.
Share with us. And you actually shared with me a really cool one, which I think it's using technology. It's so interesting to me, and that was, you know, using the alarms on your phone to tell yourself stuff. So I don't want to give that away. I'll let you share that, but can you share that with us?
We start with that because presence requires practice. Mm-hmm. And even as I began this journey for myself, it was a basic practice. And that's exactly the first one I started with. Set your alarms on your phone. And they can just be simple alarms that go off that remind you to just breathe or to be in the present moment. I took it a little further and I actually labeled my alarms. And in the morning, it would maybe say something like, what are you thinking right now? 9:30 in the morning, the kids are off on the bus and I'm getting into my work day. And what are you thinking right now? Present moment. And then maybe at 12:30, it says, what emotions are you feeling right now? Maybe at 3:00, it goes off and says, what bodily sensations are you feeling right now? So for instance, if I'm feeling a pit in my stomach, I can say, I wonder why I'm feeling a pit in my stomach. I didn't even notice that as I'm sitting here plugging away, doing work or, you know, driving here and there. Oh, right. I'm supposed to have dinner with somebody that there's a little conflict with. Interesting. Didn't even think about that, right? Because I wasn't present to it. But those alarms do exactly that, Sandy. They just say, hello, hello.
Yeah.
What's going on for you right in this moment? And when we do that and you start to become aware of what's happening or you notice in those moments, it gives us information. And that's all that is. So yeah, I would encourage anyone to try that.
Yeah, no, I loved that. I still use it. I think it's great. I get little alarms all the time. I'm like, what is that? And then there, you know, there's this nice little reminder on there to like be there and be present and take a breath or whatever it is.
And so, speaking of technology, you know, I don't have one, but a lot of Apple Watches will say, take a breath.
Oh yeah, it does. Right? It drives me crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, we can take that as a gift. Not necessarily, you know, because when you see it, tell me, why does it drive you crazy, by the way?
Probably because it is telling me to just stop, take a moment and breathe. And I tend to resist that. I'm not, I'm working on getting better at that. I am taking that moment. As a matter of fact, it's doing it right now, by the way.
So that's an indication, right? The universe is talking to you right now.
Completely.
Isn't it fascinating? You know, when the Apple Watch goes off, sometimes people go, oh, it's telling me to breathe. And I, you know, it's a joke because our culture says, don't slow down, don't breathe, keep going. What does our watch know?
Exactly.
But exactly. What we just talked about in the power of awareness and presence is setting your alarm. Same thing as an Apple Watch. Taking a minute to breathe and maybe, like I said, seeing it as a gift. My Apple Watch is smart. It's telling me I need to breathe, you know, and that's a basic thing. Taking 3 deep breaths when somebody says, oh, you should go breathe or count to 10. You know, it's we talk about that all the time. It is scientifically proven that it indicates to our brain, if we take 3 deep breaths, that we are safe, at least in this moment.
All right.
And so just taking those breaths is a great way to drop into the present.
And for me, it's, if I actually do it, I do recognize that it's very calming.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get right back into the thing you're doing. It doesn't mean that you're giving up for the day or, you know, you're getting off course. It means I'm taking 30 seconds to a minute to just breathe and bring presence into this space. That's all. Yeah. That means.
It's just you're right. It's just taking that moment to just. Right. Be aware of you, what you're feeling,
right.
What you're thinking, and just say, okay, we're good. Keep moving right. on. Right.
Absolutely.
Cause I know I tend to, sometimes for me, I tend to, especially if I have a problem that I'm trying to sort out, I am constantly seeking that solution and I'm subconsciously thinking about it when I'm doing something else and not even aware in that moment that I'm so focused over there that I'm really not paying any attention to what I'm doing right now. And sometimes it's having a conversation with my kids and needing to be present for them and in that conversation with them. But yet in the back of my mind, I'm still working on that problem. What's the solution to that problem? So it's something that I am working on constantly.
Well, and that example perfectly, you know, when your son or daughter's talking to you, study them. What are they wearing? What color are their eyes in that moment? Because sometimes they change a little.
Right.
What's their hair like? You know, start to get into some of the details of who they are and what it is. Do they smell? Some of my teenagers think because of hormones or because they were just on the field, you know, use your senses. And that's, you know, that helps us to hone in. We're not thinking about those other things. And then we feel more present and we're more joyful in that moment with our son or daughter. And it could be little things, washing the dishes. Every time you wash a dish, pay close attention to what you're experiencing. Notice the sounds, the scents, the feels. You can transform dishwashing to a spa experience just with presence.
Yeah, spa for your hands.
Notice the water temperature, the soap scent, you know, if it's warm and it smells like lavender or something joyful or gentle, all of a sudden that's creating a moment for you, right? Well, the prism on the bubble, maybe every movement, even your breathing in that time, it becomes a treasured moment, not just I got to wash the darn dishes again.
Right, right. Well, most people that know me well know that I'm not a big fan of the kitchen in general. But I will say this, when I'm in the kitchen, I have taken some of your advice and made, you know, I set the tone. I as you say, create the moment. And I'm often to always have music on. If I'm in the kitchen, the music is on. I tell Alexa, play music. And, you know, she'll play usually something that I don't necessarily want to hear in that moment. So we'll fight over what I want to hear. And then I get the music I want. Sometimes I'll light a candle. I have a candle sitting right there. And then suddenly it's like, okay, this isn't so bad. I can cook dinner now. I can clean. I can do what I need to do. And the next thing you know, I find that suddenly my kids are in there with me and joining me and hanging out and either singing or dancing or, you know, getting in my way one way or the other, but it really does make it much more joyful, much more fun and relaxed even. I mean, it's just like we're doing it together and suddenly it's a completely different experience.
Right. So you're also bringing up something about just appreciation and gratitude for the moment. You know, it's you've transformed a moment, not only because you were present and you made it better by lighting a candle or putting on some music, and then it just started to become a moment. But then, and all the kids are in here and we're having a great time. It's joyful. It's fun. You know, being grateful in that moment is an added bonus to just simply being aware and present.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's so true.
So a couple other things that, you know, as people are listening in, they could try. Another one is to, you know, we don't often know. Sometimes we talk about meditation and people get a little anxiety over that because they think, oh, I need to be really good at it. And we all know what good feels like in meditation sometimes. But I'm going to give you one that you can do that's really easy. It's literally just sitting and closing your eyes and imagining your heart beating. Even put your hand on your heart or feel your pulse in your wrist or your neck and just get in touch with that heartbeat. And as you do that, then starting to imagine the bloodstream going throughout your whole body and follow it. You can follow it like a scientist watching it. You can follow it as if you're a little surfer and you're in there in the bloodstream. Whatever it takes, a person with a flashlight following the flow, kind of like a sewer down in New York City, you're just finding it. When you do that, it also brings you into the present moment. It brings you straight into your body and it brings you right into that space. And that allows you to just remain present. It's literally called following the bloodstream.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
Try that.
I like that.
Another one to practice, and I do this all the time, is just to really set yourself up for success for the day. So when you're laying in bed in the morning or when you're getting, you know, showering, whatever you do to start your day in the morning, asking yourself some basic questions, whatever works for you. Some of mine are, today I can... Or today I want, or today I have time to. So for instance, today I have time to, well, that helps me think my schedule's pretty full today. I've got a block here and a block there. So I recognize I don't have as much time as I thought I was going to have. So I really only have time for a bit. So if I get just that much accomplished today and I'm presently aware of what's happening, I'm not going to bed feeling like, oh my gosh, I didn't get anything done today.
Mm.
Today, just be present today. Today I can show up and shine light. Maybe I can't do, maybe I have a huge list of all the things I have to do today, or I have a lot of meetings and I can only be present in there, but I know that I can shine light and show up. So right. Giving yourself some grace by just centering yourself with those, some basic questions that help you to see your day a little less like a sprint till you get to bed.
Right.
And more of a, let's put today in perspective. Because when I go to bed, if I haven't gotten things done, it's okay. Because I already said, that's not going to probably happen today. So I can always go to tomorrow.
Right.
And today I can, oh, I've got this giant slice of time. And you know what? I really needed to work on that creative project. So why don't I take a walk, think about it, get inspired by nature, and come home and tackle it. Awesome.
Right. Yeah.
It hones it in.
Does that make sense? It does. It makes a lot of sense. And you just mentioned the to-do list. And you have an interesting theory on the to-do list that I love, because I've been told forever, I'm not the most organized person in the world. And so for me to really get things accomplished, I've always been told create a to-do list. And then I find my to-do list creates more stress than all the work I actually needed to get accomplished.
Yeah.
So tell me your thoughts on the to-do list.
Well, you know, where did the to-do list come from, Sandy? When you put something on a piece of paper, what's the thought right before that?
It's, let me write down all the things I feel I need to get done today. Right. In order to achieve whatever. I don't even know what it is I'm trying to achieve, other than either someone's expecting something of me and I need to deliver on that, or I have in my own mind what I feel needs to be accomplished today in order for me to feel productive, I guess.
Yeah, sure. So it's an idea you had about a task that should be completed. It was an idea you had about a place you need to be. It's an idea, you know, but it's all a figment of our imagination. If we could turn off that, we wouldn't have anything on paper. Every single thing, and anybody that's listening to, look at your darn list and say, huh, where did that come from? Oh, I created that. And a lot of those things don't need to be done today. They don't need to be done this week. Now, there are certain things that you want to make sure you do. Like you probably should eat and you probably should go to the bathroom.
Right.
And, you know, certain things, you know, depending on your life, you have in your day. I understand. But generally speaking, it is all a figment of your imagination. And so the amount of pressure and stress we put upon ourselves to get that accomplished and check things off creates another space where we are living so much in either the past of what should have done or the future of what needs to be done. And we're not just honing in on, but today, you know what? I know that I want to show up as a terrific friend to a friend that literally just had a miscarriage this weekend. Mm. That's what I'm going to do this weekend or today, right? I'm going to make that to-do list be a little bit more powerful, intentional, and real for me today.
Ah, interesting. So it's not about, so don't think of it as just task, right? To me, it's, I've got all these tasks to do. And I don't know what it would feel like to ever actually check everything off my to-do list because in one day, because I've never done that before. Uh-huh. And so it's interesting that, you know, like you said, we've created this, it's in our imagination, but, you know, really my thought is, and I've thought a lot about this lately, and this kind of spurred from another conversation I had with someone else, but what is going to truly make my life, my day more enriched, right? Is it getting that to-do list all accomplished and everything checked off? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So someone tasked me with this question, and I thought it was a fascinating question. They said, if you could have more of something in your life, what would it be? And there was a group of us, right? And so I fortunately had a little more time to think about it. I didn't respond right away like some of the others did. And most people said time. And I think part of it was coming from the conversation of creating boundaries in your life so that you can make time for yourself, things like that. But also I think it's, we give ourselves so many tasks mm-hmm. to do in a day that it's, you're focused more on the task and focus less on trying to figure out what's going to enrich your day and what's going to make you ultimately have a great day. Right. So I really had a few moments to think about it. And I thought, well, you know, what's really missing in my life right now is adventures. I want more adventures in my life. Right. And of course, that's my definition. You know, it's for me, it was, I want to get out and live more and do things that I enjoy and actually discover things that I haven't discovered before and find new things. But, and I think a lot of people would agree if you had more time, maybe you would do more of that, but we don't have more time. That ultimately isn't an option for us.
How do we take the concept of adventure to our to-do list? Because that's practical, right? How do we do that?
Great.
And it'd be interesting to put on the lens of adventure when you look at your to-do list. Because all of a sudden, the things that feel adventurous, the things that make you feel like you're doing that, might come to life. So it might be contact this local outdoor club for, you know, ideas of what they're doing this fall. Or it might be, you know, volunteering at a local animal shelter, because that feels adventurous, you know, whatever speaks to you as adventurous. Yes.
Right. Right.
And so it could be, you know, serving or showing up in the community or activities, but it could also be your to-do list. Like, you know, does it feel adventurous to, you know, to schedule some time to write an article? Well, not so much, but how can I make it feel more adventurous? And what you said is, what do you want more out of your life? Mm. And when we start to use that lens, it not only allows us to pick the things that feel more like that, but it also allows us to creatively relook at them in a way that makes it feel like it's more of what we want.
Absolutely. It gives you control. I think so often we wish we had control of our lives, right?
Right.
We have a job, we have to go to work, we have responsibilities for that. We have families, we have responsibilities for that. And, you know, it's constantly, I feel like the longer my to-do list gets, the less control I have right. over my life.
Right.
So now I've just resisted the to-do list altogether.
Yeah. And what if your to-do list was like optional things to do?
Yes, exactly.
Take the pressure off, you know? A long time ago, I was asked to make something up in my mind that kind of explicitly shows how I like to be in the world. And it could be anything. It could be serve humbly. It could be engage joyfully. It could be, you know, but it was a verb. Adverb was our challenge.
Interesting.
The one that I came up with is living freely.
I love it.
Right. So just like yours, adventuring, right? Mm-hmm. Living freely. So when I look at my list, what makes me feel like I'm living freely? When I'm out and about with people and I'm with a group that doesn't feel so great, am I living freely? Nope, it's not my place. I'm going to pull back because that's not life-giving. It's not giving me that feeling. But when I show up and live freely, I feel I can be myself. I feel like it's filling me up. Mm. I feel like I'm not going towards things that feel restricting or feel like they're, as I said, not life-giving. I'm just living freely. And if every day I wake up and that's my to-do, to live freely in however I show up, wherever I show up, I go to bed feeling pretty great.
I love that concept.
It's a feeling state we're going after, not a thing, not an achievement, not a success, not a specific social situation, or, you know, it's a feeling state. When we follow that feeling state, every day feels like that. It doesn't freaking matter if we're sitting on a curb in front of our house. Or living in a big mansion. If we're
right.
living freely, we're present.
Right. And you know what I like about that too is it's not, you're not saying if you're unhappy, change your surroundings. If you're this, get a new job. It's saying look and see where you are and change your perspective on that. And so it's not, I should get a different job, or I should get a new car, or a different house, or live in a different city. It's really taking where you are in that moment and just being grateful and appreciative and joyful about
right.
where you are and what you have around you. It's really, again, you talked about this in the last one. It's the awareness
mm-hmm.
of where you are. And I think that is so powerful. Too often we think, oh, I'm unhappy. I need to change something. Maybe it's right. just changing the way you think
yeah.
about where you are.
And you know, life challenges you, and there are, you know, you do suffer, and there are things that are real pain, right? You know, my dog got hit by a car is real pain.
Right.
It's not easy to sit there and say, I should think differently about that.
Right. Right. Totally agree. Right.
So we're talking about clean pain versus dirty pain, which you and I've talked about before. Mm-hmm. Clean pain is my dog got hit by a car. The dirty pain is I'm not a responsible dog owner. I should not have let them out. Why did they ever let me? I'm a loser of a person, right? Like all the things we associate with my dog got hit by a car. So we're not talking about readjusting your thoughts on all things that are clean and hard and painful. There are those things in life, but we're talking about all the other stuff that our mind misconstrues or worries about or comes up with that isn't true or isn't at least keeping us in the present. And life challenges you, so you will suffer, but presence transforms it. It takes you to the now and literally says, what's alive now? And that aliveness is full and it's fun. And it's just, you just experience like this heightened enlightenment. And that is when you're in that present space and you're able to feel the freedom of that moment. And that's what we're going for.
Yes. Yes, I love that. The freedom of the moment.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
We are meant to live in peace and we're meant to live in abundance. It's just a matter of us accepting it in right now, in this moment. Yes. Right now.
I love it. I love it. That is so powerful. So, so powerful. So it's all about being present, being aware, and bringing peace, be living freely. That's what we'll say. Living freely. I love it.
Yeah, I challenge you to come up with your verb, adverb. I'd love to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I will do that. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
That'll be my homework.
I had a whole page, you know, cause I was writing all these things, celebrating, encouraging, you know, all these searching, all the, you know, but then I just kept honing it in and honing it in. So see what you come up with.
Yeah, I am leaning towards right now, but I want to think about it a little more. But for me, it's like finding my adventure in everything I do, right? Just it's an opportunity for us to create it no matter what we're doing. So I think I'll go in that direction.
Great.
Awesome.
And it's, you know, Zen Master says, if not now, when?
Zen Master. I love that. I want that title, Zen Master.
Yes.
That's so great. Beth, this has been super powerful. Thank you so much for being back on the show again and sharing such great insights with us. And you know, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to keep this conversation going. So I'm so appreciating the direction it's going. And certainly it's some great tidbits for people out there just to kind of, you know, just manage our own like internal narratives and staying, you know, positive and upbeat and thriving through each day. So thank you again. Thank you for being here.
Sure thing. Thanks so much for the invitation. I always love spending time with you.
Well, we're definitely going to have you back, and I love spending time with you.
All right, my friend.
All right. So you've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. And thank you for joining us, and keep looking out for new episodes coming soon. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more episodes where podcasts can be heard. See you next time.